Science and mysticism are very closely related, distinguishable only by their approaches. They have identical goals, but different methods.
Peter tells me, Galloway said, that your field of study is a kind of modern mystical science.
Noetics, Catherine said, nodding. And it's proving man has powers unlike anything we can imagine. She motioned to a stained glass window depicting the familiar image of the luminous Jesus, that of Christ with rays of light flowing from his head and hands. In fact, I just used a super-cooled, charge-coupled device to photograph the hands of a faith healer at work. The photos looked a lot like the image of Jesus in your stained glass window, streams of energy pouring through the healer's fingertips. The well-trained mind, Galloway thought, hiding a smile. How do you think Jesus healed the sick?
I realize, Catherine said, that modern medicine ridicules healers and shamans, but I saw this with my own eyes. My CCD cameras clearly photographed this man transmitting a massive energy field from his fingertips and literally changing the cellular makeup of his patient. If that's not godlike power, then I don't know what is.
Dean Galloway let himself smile. Catherine had the same fiery passion as her brother.
Peter once compared noetic scientists to the early explorers who were mocked for embracing the heretical notion of a spherical earth. Almost overnight, these explorers went from fools to heroes, discovering uncharted worlds and expanding the horizons of everyone on the planet. Peter thinks you will do this as well. He has very high hopes for your work. After all, every great philosophical shift in history began with a single bold idea.
Galloway knew, of course, that one needn't go to a lab to witness proof of this bold new idea, this proposal of man's untapped potential. This very cathedral held healing prayer circles for the sick and repeatedly had witnessed truly miraculous results, medically documented physical transformations. The question was not whether God had imbued man with great powers, but rather how we liberate those powers. The old dean placed his hands reverently around the sides of the Masonic pyramid and spoke very quietly.
My friends, I do not know exactly where this pyramid points, but I do know this. There is a great spiritual treasure buried out there somewhere, a treasure that has waited patiently in darkness for generations. I believe it is a catalyst that has the power to transform this world.
He now touched the golden tip of the capstone.
And now that this pyramid is assembled, the time is fast approaching. And why shouldn't it? The promise of a great transformational enlightenment has been prophesied forever.
Father, Langdon said, his tone challenging, we're all familiar with the revelation of St. John and the literal meaning of the apocalypse, but biblical prophecy hardly seems...
Oh, heavens! The book of Revelation is a mess, the dean said. Nobody knows how to read that.
I'm talking about clear minds writing in clear language. The predictions of St. Augustine, Sir Francis Bacon, Newton, Einstein. The list goes on and on. All anticipating a transformative moment of enlightenment. Even Jesus himself said, nothing is hidden that will not be made known, nor secret that will not come to light.
It's a safe prediction to make, Langdon said. Knowledge grows exponentially. The more we know, the greater our ability to learn, and the faster we expand our knowledge base.
Yes, Catherine added, we see this in science all the time. Each new technology we invent becomes a tool with which to invent new technologies, and it snowballs. That's why science has advanced more in the last 5 years than in the previous 5,000. Exponential growth. Mathematically, as time passes, the exponential curve of progress becomes almost vertical, and new development occurs incredibly fast.
Silence fell in the dean's office, and Galloway sensed that his two guests still had no idea how this pyramid could possibly help them reveal anything further.
That is why fate brought you to me, he thought. I have a role to play.
For many years, the Reverend Colin Galloway, along with his Masonic brothers, had played the role of gatekeeper. Now it was all changing.
I am no longer a gatekeeper. I am a guide.
Professor Langdon, Galloway said, reaching out across his desk. Take my hand, if you will.
Robert Langdon felt uncertain
as he stared across at Dean Galloway's outstretched palm.
Are we going to pray?
Politely, Langdon reached out and placed his right hand in the dean's withered hand. The old man grasped it firmly, but did not begin to pray. Instead, he found Langdon's index finger and guided it downward into the stone box that had once housed the golden capstone.
Your eyes have blinded you, the dean said. If you saw with your fingertips as I do, you would realize this box has something left to teach you.
Dutifully, Langdon worked his fingertip around the inside of the box, but he felt nothing. The inside was perfectly smooth.
Keep looking, Galloway prompted.
Finally, Langdon's fingertip felt something, a tiny raised circle, a minuscule dot in the center of the base of the box. He removed his hand and peered inside. The little circle was virtually invisible to the naked eye.
What is that?
Do you recognize that symbol? Galloway asked.
Symbol, Langdon replied. I can barely see anything at all.
Push down on it. Langdon did as he asked, pressing his fingertip down onto the spot.
What does he think will happen?
Hold your finger down, the dean said. Apply pressure. Langdon glanced over at Catherine, who looked puzzled as she tucked a wisp of hair behind her ears. A few seconds later, the old man finally nodded.
Okay, remove your hand. The alchemy is complete.
Alchemy? Robert Langdon removed his hand from the stone box and sat in bewildered silence. Nothing had changed at all. The box just sat there on the desk.
Nothing, Langdon said.
Look at your fingertip, the dean replied. You should see a transformation. Langdon looked at his finger, but the only transformation he could see was that he now had an indentation on his skin made by the circular nubbin, a tiny circle with a dot in the middle.
Now, do you recognize this symbol? The dean asked.
Although Langdon recognized the symbol, he was more impressed that the dean had been able to feel the detail of it. Seeing with one's fingertips was apparently a learned skill.
It's alchemical, Catherine said, sliding her chair closer and examining Langdon's finger. It's the ancient symbol for gold.
Indeed it is, the dean smiled and patted the box. Professor, congratulations, you have just achieved what every alchemist in history has strived for. From a worthless substance, you've created gold.
Langdon frowned, unimpressed. The little parlor trick seemed to be no help at all.
An interesting idea, sir, but I'm afraid this symbol, a circle with a round dot in the middle, has dozens of meanings.